Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Joe.
And I'm Ryan.
I know, we are way too late for Pride Month on this one, which is when it was originally supposed to come out. But you know what? Life happens, and it's the middle of July, but never too late to talk about attractive men on the internet. And that's basically
it's never too late to celebrate Pride.
Yes, even though we're two straight men just talking about attractive actors in stuff we enjoy. Because why is that wrong? Why can't we as straight men celebrate the male physique or just the charm of certain actors in favorite projects of ours? There's plenty of stuff about hottest women on the internet, so let's even the
boring
odds a little.
Boo. We've seen that. Here's the hottest men.
No top 10 list per se. We're just picking some of our favorites and maybe a few moments of theirs that made us go, what? No. And in non-Pride related news, a little housekeeping. Close Up is going by weekly from here on out. So in case you missed it last week, there was no episode last week and there won't be for another 2 weeks. So just a heads up there. I don't know how much mileage this episode's going to get, but let's see how it goes. If we run out of attractive things to say, we can always just gush about their boring things like skills as actors and whatever.
Yeah.
The roles, the characters. Well, let's start with the one that I think is on both our lists here. The one that kind of kicked this whole idea off is Chris Evans in Civil War. Just a specimen of a man.
You know,
the scene specifically, the moment that we're thinking of in our minds here is the one where the helicopter's getting away from him. So he grabs out with the one hand and grabs the leg of the helicopter, and the other hand he grabs the platform and he starts pulling, but he's not strong enough. What can he do? He flips his bicep. And that gives him the strength to pull harder and win our hearts. As if he hadn't already in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy to me is, like, I don't know, I haven't watched a lot of superhero stuff recently, but they don't really do, like, hero shots like that anymore, where it shows off the strength of a character. Again, I haven't seen the Marvels, so I don't know. They didn't do anything like that in Quantumania. But, but yeah, they don't really do that anymore. But yeah, it's just, for me, it's the flip. It's when he goes from there and he just does the flip. And then you see the helicopter getting closer. Apparently, a little BTS, he actually hurt his arm doing that scene.
Oh, no.
Like he strained it or something because he was flexing too hard. But he's fine, though. He's fine.
He didn't
break it or anything, but.
Well, he made cinema history. Everybody remembers the bicep shot.
Yeah, iconic.
It was a great flex on all the men who look not like that.
Mm-hmm. Another iconic shot, which is very cemented on the internet, at least, in memes and in pop culture, is specifically Lord of the Rings: The Two Towers, when Viggo Mortensen, Aragorn, pushes open the doors. And he's walking in all slow motion. He's covered in sweat and he's all wet. It's that hero shot of like, yeah, I'm back, bitches. That's an attractive man right there. Showing off about how like chill he is, still in his Strider getup.
But battle hardened and sweaty, like I just survived a battle. And like, respect me. Why don't you?
I'm on 1 HP right now.
But I made it.
I made it. I'm a little late.
You got to respect that. To me, Aragorn and Captain America. They're both kind of attractive in personality, too. They're the strong leaders that, like, they're specimens of human beings, for sure, but they're also, like, yeah, I'd follow you. You're just, like, you're good guys with good ideals, and I'd like to be around you and have conversations with you, and you've got good ideals, and I can see why you're the king in waiting, and you're the Captain America. Yeah,
100%.
That's part of the attractiveness too. Like this is a celebration of the physique, sure, but it's also the characters and what these actors bring to their roles that makes us
what they like represent.
What makes us like their character? Like, sure, the raw physique is, it's a good starting point for sure. It catches your eye, but once your eye's caught, what keeps it there? It's these guys' performance, and their vulnerabilities as well. Like, Steve can get vulnerable when around Peggy Carter, and Aragorn gets vulnerable around Lord of the Rings fans are going to kill me. Liv Tyler, I don't remember the character.
Arwen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as well versed on that trilogy as others would want me to be, but they can be vulnerable men, which is important. With their lovers, they're not just these battle-hardened war heroes. They're also just guys, and that's
they're people.
Yeah, they're just people who are tired of the battle and just want love in their lives, and that's good. We're gonna try not to stuff this list with like superheroes, probably. There's a lot of guys who've played heroes in here, but let's try to keep it a bit of variety. Next up, but that being said, I'm gonna put Henry Cavill next up. Just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
For this list,
bring him up.
For this specific list, I think in terms of attractiveness, in my mind, he looked great in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Just look up promotional images of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's in that nice dapper suit. He's clean shaven. He's, you know, he's got his hair slicked back. You know, I might have said like Mission Impossible Fallout, but he's got that stubble going on in that movie. Like he's battle hardened and just woke up way too late and had to rush out for the mission. Although in terms of Henry Cavill attractiveness, in terms of moments, there's so many to pick from. Don't remember enough about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. to say about that one, but you know, he's had multiple iconic bathtub scenes. As Geralt, as Clark.
In different
Kent.
Franchises.
Yeah. Henry Cavill's the master of the erotic bathtub scene.
He's the master of dehydrating himself so his skin would be tighter to his muscles. It's a little Hollywood trick that they do.
Sometimes you have to suffer to look good. Many times you have to suffer to look good.
I'm specifically thinking of the one part of in season 2 of The Witcher when someone asked Geralt, the girl, is that yours? And then he's got his sword up to Yennefer's throat and just looks at her and just says, mine. And like right there, like, damn. You know, some people would say protective daddy mode, but hey, that's just what happens. And there he's like, that's pretty, it's an attractive thing he just did. I don't know how else to say it as a straight man, but that's it.
Power. Confidence.
Yeah.
Poise. Yeah.
It's like, that's my daughter, you bitch. Stay away.
Yep. Well, you know, that reminds me, this one wasn't on my list, but can we also maybe shout out Pedro Pascal as Joel in The Last of Us?
Yep.
Just the, you know, protective dad energy there. That's attractive. Most definitely. Even when he's trying so hard not to be the protective dad.
Because
he can't lose a surrogate daughter. He's not emotionally there. He doesn't want to deal with this, but it still comes out very strongly. And even when he's not trying, it works.
100%.
And when he is trying, yeah, it really works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's, because yes, I think 100%. In our culture, we respect men who take care of their families and seek to provide and do a good job at it. And he's a survivor. He's a good paternal figure, even though this is a harsh, brutal world. He's got to teach his surrogate daughter to survive, and he'll put his life on the line for her just to protect her, because she's important, not just to him, but to humanity in general. Potentially, his one mission is to make sure she gets where she's got to go safe. And that's, you know, that's a strong man. That's a good role model. That is attractive. Any specific moments in The Last of Us?
I did just rewatch this just because I wanted to. I rewatched this series because I was watching a show that we will talk about on an upcoming podcast, and I just needed to watch a show that had good writing and good pacing.
Yeah.
And I guess when he comforts her after the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
After that episode when...
Yep. I know
Ellie kills Dave.
After the cabin, yeah.
Yeah, I see a lot of fan art about that. I've also weirdly seen a lot of, like, homages to when he's torturing those two dudes. There's a lot of weird people on the internet.
You know what? I can see an argument. The torture was good for the same reason. It's, like, this is the logical conclusion of overprotective dad mode.
Right, yeah.
This is the, you know, I can talk a big game about being an overprotective dad. I can take a bullet for my surrogate daughter, but will I torture guys to protect her? Will I rip off their kneecaps with a knife to protect her? Yes. Will I go full on, you know, Arkham fear mode in like a Batman Arkham fear mode in that scene where they're like waiting for him in the shadows and he's picking the guys off one by one.
It's real good.
To try and find her. Yeah, you know, you're right. That whole episode, that's peak Pedro Pascal in there. Let's see. I think another one that kind of oozes that physical presence, not necessarily in a dad way, but Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes. He spends most of that movie just like, it's more of a, that's a more of a primal thing. This is a guy who's just like, he's stripped of all his society and rules and his uniform, everything that means everything to him. And he just ends up a guy with a physically well-bodied man in a loincloth out in the woods, scraggly beard and hair, and they think he's just as dumb as every other ape, as every other human out there. But he's basically stripped of everything and still manages to stand out. To me, the moment that's he stands out as most attractive, though, is after he's in prison and then they wash him up and give him a shave. It's like, oh, now you're just like a really good looking man in a loincloth. And like you look more civilized now, but still primal. Like you can fight. And then like at the end there, when he's got that clean shaven look with the loincloth and then a machine gun on the beach, that's just iconic. This is
very
like
iconic classic films.
It's kind of like
male attractiveness.
Yeah, it's a classic male look. He's not like roided out or hulking. He's not a bodybuilder. He's got this lean, athletic form, which it looks more like a natural kind of fit, which you don't see a lot in movies nowadays, where the look is hyper, just not realistic for most people to achieve without steroids or starving themselves, or like you said with the Henry Cavill look, where you gotta like not have water for days just to get your skin to tighten around your muscles like that. I mean, I'm sure they were definitely bad for body standards back then too, but back then male action heroes were a little bit more realistic proportionate, so I appreciate it just for that. I'm like, oh, you're not just a strong man, but you're like an achievably attractive man.
Yeah.
Which is, it's nice to set those standards on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of classic film attractiveness, mm-hmm. I think we can't go out with without saying Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park.
Okay. Okay. That's just a charm offensive.
Mm-hmm. But also there's that scene where he's like after they get attacked by the T-Rex.
I know
that. And he's just chilling in the break room with his shirt open. And he's like, yeah, ladies, this is gonna be on your walls for the next decade or so. This is the poster. I'm the poster child of
which is very
Jurassic Park.
Impressive, personally, that Jurassic Park has basically no sex appeal in it whatsoever. But anybody, but that poster is still, like strong iconography from that movie. Everybody knows the scene when he's got his shirt open, he's got his leg up on the table in the triangle kind of window. He's just kind of perched on the. I don't even remember the context at this very moment, but I know the scene. As
you're just taking a breather.
It. Yeah.
You're just taking a breather. Sexy. A sexy breather.
Yep. Dr. Ian Malcolm's also sexy for his knowledge. He's very critical thinking where everyone else is not. You guys wondered so much if you could. You didn't stop to think if you should. He's asking the hard-hitting questions that everyone else is just gawking
questions.
Wide-eyed, and they're like, wow, dinosaurs. And he's like, okay, but what's this mean?
You bred raptors? Oh, wait, no, that's Sam Neill. That's the other guy.
You know, even though this guy's like paying so much alimony for his divorces, if I recall him saying, he's like, oh yeah, I've been divorced a lot of times, but I'm like, yeah, but I see why you've been married so many times. You're so charming at first, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just a, you know, charming guy. Good 80s, 90s looking guy.
Yeah. Well, another one here is, ooh, who to pick? I have so many here. Going from an achievable body standard to one that's very unrealistic but iconic, Sylvester Stallone in Rocky III. And a lot of you might say, well, well, he was.
What do you mean, Joe?
He was very, very ripped in Rocky IV. Why didn't you pick IV? Have you seen the posters for III?
Have you seen III?
III is the one where he got the statue, and that's the one. He's fighting Mr. T. Even Dolph Lundgren wasn't that hulked out.
He's fighting Hulk Hogan. My goodness.
And he did fight Hulk Hogan in that one, too. So he's fighting Mr. T and Hulk Hogan in that one. That's how ripped Sylvester Stallone was in that movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah. He was insanely ripped that it's like, you can tell, it's like he was so ripped that they had to add like baby oil on him to show how ripped he was. like to show best how moment. Absolutely massive he was.
Best moment in that movie.
This poor guy needs a burger.
Yeah. I'm going to say maximum moment of sexiness for that movie is him and Carl Weathers running in slow-mo on the beach.
Yep. Rest in peace, Carl Weathers.
In their training montage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carl Weathers is another beast in this movie. He's just super sexy in Rocky Insanely 3 as well. Ripped. Yeah.
Dude, that's like, it's literally every, like, males, well, not every male act, but, like, a lot of male actors' dreams just to, like, get paid to get ripped for a role. It's just like, it's like, this is what, I'm getting paid to be in quote-unquote male physical peak shape.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Well, if we're bringing that up, maybe I should also bring up Zac Efron in the Iron Claw. What a transformation there.
He's huge in that. He's like thick. Like his face changed.
Dude really bulked up. But once again, it's the personality too. You're such a giant guy in the ring, but also that works with Rocky as well, because these guys are larger than life in the ring, but just really sensitive, soft-spoken guys in their personal life. They just love their wives and just want to go about their business and ideally want to find success in their careers, but that's not everything to them. They care about their families too, and they're just not showy people, really.
Yeah.
I mean, in Rocky III, that's the showiest he ever got, and then he lost all his money. Actually, no, sorry. The fourth is the showiest with the robot and all, but this was like peak. This was when he was heavyweight champ.
Mm-hmm. It was on top of his game.
So yeah, we'll combine the athletics, the Iron Claw and the Rockies, the boxing and the wrestling, just those guys. So that's another one.
Yeah, those guys. Trying to think of another boxing thing. I don't know why.
Another boxing thing.
I don't know. Like Jake Gyllenhaal came to mind from Southpaw. Ripped. I don't know if people.
I don't know why that one came to mind too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal did look good in that one. Most definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
I mean, come on
Michael
now.
Michael B. Jordan. He's also way down further on my list that I hadn't scrolled to yet. In the Creed movies. 100% Michael B. Jordan, especially in the last couple. In the first one, he was still like, okay, yeah, you're lean, you're fit, but like, okay. But then in 2 and 3, you're like, oh man, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy like how lean he gets. And it's really funny because I keep seeing the clip of him on the Graham Norton show where he's next to other celebrities. And there's like the other celebrities like find him attractive so much that they can't even speak next to him. It's just really, it's pretty funny. That's the level of attractiveness he's at. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And Michael B. Jordan, in this role is going back to the character attractiveness. He's cool because he's got that hunger to him. Like he grew up more on the poor side, and he's had to earn this title for himself, and he's just constantly ambitious and trying to earn this, and that's a quality a lot of people find attractive in a man, is that ambitiousness, and you want something, you work hard, you go get it. And don't let anything stand in your way. You wanna get the title, live up to your legacy, or get out of the shadow of your legacy, be your own man. Whatever you want to do, you build yourself up and you do it. So he's very inspiring that way. He's all about being your own man, mm-hmm. not living in the shadow of the great ones who came before you. So that's,
yeah,
that's definitely an attractive
character
quality
attractiveness
in a character
as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think an important one that we're forgetting about. From two of our favorite franchises. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, I think, can have a double whammy here. He's like Henry Cavill, who's attractive in so many things. Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford are attractive. I mean, in Han Solo, are attractive for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. Although I have here one moment I find especially attractive is Han Solo is his introduction when he's got his feet kicked up on the table, a gun pointed at his face, and he just doesn't give a crap. He's just...
Yep.
He's just... This bounty hunter's just in his face, like, oh, I got you! I got you! And he's like, okay. So? He's just... He's that kind of aloof, attractive. He's the bad boy who doesn't mm-hmm. care.
I mean, this is a guy who talks shit straight to Jabba's face.
Yeah.
High-ranking war criminal, so...
And he won't be talked down to by a princess.
Nope.
He doesn't have time for Luke and Obi-Wan show this religious reverence to the Force, and he's like, hokey religions are no match for a good blaster at your side. So it's just true. That I don't care. It's me versus the galaxy, and I've proven I'm pretty mm-hmm. competent. All things considered, yeah, I had to dump my last shipment and bounty hunters are after me and I pissed off the crime lord, but like, I did it on my terms and I'm fine with that. We're cool. We're cool. This is fine. So Han's also kind of funny because he's the bad boy who's clearly having a lot of troubles, practically speaking.
He's got some issues going.
But he still plays it off like, that's cool. We got this. It's fine. Or in all of Empire Strikes Back when his ship's falling to pieces and he's like, we're fine. It's all good. We'll just fix it.
Yeah.
Even right to the end funny with meme. I love you, I know.
Recently it was where it's like the, when he's shooting at Darth Vader. And it's like, it was really rude of Han Solo to shoot at Darth Vader after he prepared a whole dinner for the whole gang.
Definitely.
I just keep thinking of like a skit we could do where it's like, I made this whole dinner for you, like, and you just come here and shoot me. Boba got catering and like everything.
And that's where Boba steps out,
and everything.
Right?
He's like, yeah, I got the catering. He's like, this is very rude, Han. I'm trying to talk to you man to man and you just shoot me. What the hell?
That's another great Han Solo moment. He just walks into the room and starts blasting immediately.
Yeah. Performance check failed.
Yep. But I also like how confident he is. Sometimes a little too overconfident. Like when he's chasing that stormtrooper down the hall super confidently, and then it's a whole mm-hmm. room full. Ah! And then he runs back the other way. Like, okay, okay. Your confidence is attractive, but it's also attractive to know that you're in over your head and you know it. You know your limits.
Mm-hmm.
Or what about that scene where he tries to improvise? Where he tries to improvise with the Death Star technician. Oh, just a small...
We're all good here.
Yeah, we're all good here.
Yeah. How are you?
And he's just cringing.
He just ends up shooting the fucking thing.
And Indiana Jones, well, I mean, I understand why this professor has students writing love you on their eyes.
There's a lot of torn shirts in this franchise.
Yep.
He's very tanned for a professor.
With the bridge.
Just saying.
I think, mm-hmm. if you're talking about sexy moments for posters, like with Jeff Goldblum, the one where he's got his shirt all torn and he's got the machete on the bridge in Temple of Doom.
Yep. Yep.
That's up there, iconic.
Prepare to meet Kali.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, shut up.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Everything he does is Indiana Jones. Another peak Indiana Jones moment of sexiness. The guy with the sword, just swinging the sword around in the bazaar. He doesn't have time for this. He just shoots him.
That scene is so iconic. I feel like it's funny about that scene alone, because I feel like the behind the scenes has become more just as famous as the scene itself. Of like why they did that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Little less sexy when you actually know the story, but you know what? I don't care. Mm. Harrison Ford's sexier with food poisoning than most men. That's just facts.
It's facts.
Yeah.
I might go a little... I'm going to go a little, little different type of sexiness, and not terms of visual, but voice. Anything Troy Baker does.
Okay.
You know, he's the original...
Okay.
He's the original Joel from Last of Us.
Sure.
He plays Booker DeWitt, Bioshock Infinite. Pretty sure he played that emo kid in the Infamous game. You know, he's done all sorts of different types of roles, and he plays oh no, that's not him. That's the other guy. I was about to say he plays the one guy in Uncharted 4, but he plays the brother. but yeah, you know, very, very, very attractive man, very attractive voice.
A voice is very important. And you know why? Because people fall in love with Troy Baker before they even see his face. And his face is not disappointing, I will say.
Yeah. And he's voicing Indiana Jones in the upcoming video game.
Really? Okay. So it's just a trifecta of sexiness here. You have the voice of Troy Baker, you have the character of Indiana Jones, and like Troy Baker's not a bad looking guy either. So it's a complete package experience. Indiana Jones. I've only watched this movie recently, but I was pretty struck by how attractive Guy Pearce is in L.A. Confidential. It's like, damn, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. How about... I mean, he's been attractive for most of his career, but specifically... I like Chris Pine in the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
I did have Chris Pine in the Dungeons & Dragons movie, but I had Chris Pine for Wonder Woman as Steve Trevor.
Yeah. He's just a handsome dude. It's like not even like he's sexy. He's just a handsome man.
I've heard Chris Pine describe himself as a character actor in a leading man's body.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He's got the talent and the looks to match.
He's got the charm, he's got the wit, he's got everything.
He's got the swagger of Captain Kirk, or a bard, or...
Yeah.
He can play Wonder Woman's love interest and not blend into the background. Steve Trevor is one of the best non-powered love interests in superhero movie history.
He can get away with being the idea guy in the group of superheroes, because he's just that charming.
Yes. Everything Chris Pine does, he's just... He commands. He's got a great screen presence. And once again, he looks attractive just off the hop, but he's got the talent to back it up. Everything this guy does, like as I was making this list, I was scrolling through my IMDb just to be like, was anyone attractive in this movie? And then I'm like, I got so many Chris Pine movies on this list. I didn't realize how many Chris Pine movies I've seen. He's great in all of them.
Yeah. Apparently, there is a chance for another Dungeons & Dragons movie. That's what Chris Pine said. Said there's a chance.
My personal hope for that movie is that the same cast comes back as all completely different characters.
It'd be so funny.
That'd be the perfect.
And like Chris Pine's not even like the main character. But he's just one of the other characters. It'd be so funny.
Yeah, that'd be great. If one of the others gets to be...
I remember, like, for... Because we're talking about D&D, but, like, Vox Machina characters and under, like, a form or whatever for the anime show. It's like, what if they did live action? It's like, who'd they cast? It's like, how about the people that already play them in animation? They all pretty closely look like the characters anyway. But like, if you're going main actors, it'd be crazy. But yeah.
Well, if we're talking,
all the voice actors of Vos Machina.
Yeah, I was gonna say all of them, but specifically Matt Mercer.
Yep,
that man is just incredibly attractive.
Oozes charisma. I can see why Marisha Ray married him.
Yeah, his long dark hair, his vests, his eyes. Even though he's a voice actor, the man can stare into your soul.
There's a specific Halloween episode that they did where he dressed up as Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher 3.
Ah, yes.
And he nails it. He looks very good.
I've seen that one.
Listen, for all those haters out there right now judging us for appreciating attractive men, that's just all we're doing. You can see someone and be like, that's an attractive man right there. And then you'd be fine with that. Be comfortable in those thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that hard.
I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. I'm like, were all the Renaissance sculptors gay? All of them?
Not all of them.
Like, they made
appreciating the physique of a man.
Yes. That's it. Sometimes it's physique. Sometimes it's charm. Sometimes we just think they're kind of cute. It could be anything, but there's nothing wrong with appreciating is all. And once again, this is just because it would be too easy to make this list for women.
Too easy.
There's so many attractive women, and I feel like the media basically just exists already to say how attractive women were in certain projects or how unattractive they were if certain toxic elements get into the fray, and to body shame and to make them feel bad about themselves. And men obviously get that a lot as well. But I feel like men are less often celebrated too. So men are more just sort of neutrally considered in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep the list going with Christopher Reeve and Superman.
Yeah.
This is
as someone who recently watched the movie for the first time, I can agree.
Top moment for me in this one is the rooftop scene where he's playfully flirting with Lois Lane. Do you have a girlfriend? Well, if I did, Miss Lane, you'd be the first to know about it.
Damn.
Just that whole encounter. What color underwear am I wearing? Pink. Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. How big is her feet or whatever she says?
I don't remember the line, though. It's going to bug me. Yeah, just that whole scene where they're flirting in the rooftop garden and then he takes her for a fly. Like, oh, it would be nice to date Superman for sure. He's just the nicest guy ever, even as Superman or as Clark Kent. He's just a down-to-earth country boy from Smallville and stands for truth, justice, and the American way unabashedly. All the good parts about all that, anyway. He wears bright colors unabashedly, too. He just helps people because it's the right thing to do. He's got his head on straight. And he looks like Christopher Reeve. And that, you know, he's got that cute little curl. That little hair curl. I don't know why it looks so good, but it does. Nice form-fitting suit. I'm a big Superman fan, if you haven't guessed.
Yeah.
Reeve and Cavill. I've got multiple Superman on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, I could probably put them all on there. I haven't seen much of Smallville, but I could put Tom Welling on there. I haven't seen Superman and Lois, but I could put Tyler Hoechlin on there. Who were the other Supermen? Brandon Routh. Very attractive as well. He's very attractive as Ray Palmer in Legends of Tomorrow, but somehow he's even more attractive as Superman again when he comes back as in Kingdom Come. When he plays the middle-aged Superman who's lost basically everything, but he still maintains his ideals. He hasn't gone full injustice. He's just same old Superman with a bit more melancholy and world weariness behind him, which it's a good take. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Just anyone who plays Superman needs to have a certain level of it. Has to be attractive on the outside, but be able to believably have this attractive innocence about them too. Where you're like, I just believe you are a genuinely good guy. And that's why I find it hard to put Batman actors on my list, because they have this inner darkness that kind of repels me. even though I can appreciate you as a physical specimen, I just have a tough time being attracted to Batman-like people.
I mean, yeah. The only Batman who's more charismatic than dark is Will Arnett, but that's Lego Batman, and I'm not attracted to a Lego piece. Well, sorry, I'm just like in the middle of watching this movie right now, and it's really funny.
Lego Batman.
I've watched it before, but it's an amazing movie.
It really is.
I'm surprised we haven't brought up Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just his take on Iron Man. He makes a goatee look normal. You know what I mean? Like, Iron Man 3, where he's got, like, the weird beard connect up. He somehow makes it work.
The man's a charmer. And it's even better when you know that so much of that movie was improvised. Robert Downey Jr. is just sort of being himself and made the world fall in love with him with that movie.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't. Never mind. It's weird because, like, this is stuff I've learned from acting school where it's like, I knew my teacher's husband worked on Cinderella Man, and he helped, like, improvise a couple scenes but never got a writing credit, and he fought for a writing credit. So it's like stuff like, if you improvise like 70% of a movie, you should get writing credit. But you know, this is, you know, Hollywood politics. Anyway, back to how attractive Robert Downey Jr. is.
This whole episode is just like, let's discuss serious issues in the middle of serious issues of body shaming and Hollywood pay rights and lots in the middle here.
I think it works. I think it's working so far.
What even is this episode? I got no idea.
It's a celebration of the male. That's it.
just a celebration of men.
It sounded like I was going to go further with that, but I didn't.
I believe it was off air. We were talking about Brad Pitt, but I got to include Brad Pitt, and I'll say in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he kicked Bruce Lee's ass in a fight. And the scene I'm thinking of is when he does like parkour up the roof and then rips his shirt off.
I'm specifically thinking of him in Troy, where he's at his most physically peak self and just in general. That's what I'm thinking of.
Brad Pitt characters are generally attractive because they're all so pretty. He's just got this calm energy about him. And who doesn't like to be around people who make you calm? You know, he's just a disarming presence. Just easy to watch, and he'll take you on an entertainment ride. He's just like, okay, yeah, Brad Pitt movie. I'm in for a good time. I can do that. He's rarely shocking or in your face or super intense. I know what I'm getting into with Brad Pitt, but like, it's good.
Yeah, 100%. Keanu Reeves as John Wick in a weird way. I mean, people might say The Matrix or whatever, but like, I think he rocks harder with like the long hair and beard.
It's one of the, it's going back to the dad thing, but like retroactively in that case, it's not like this is a dad who failed to protect his dog and his wife. So he's like, okay, well, I couldn't protect them, but this
well,
is what I'll
broke in. They caught him off guard.
But this is what I'll do to people who harmed any member of my family retroactively.
Yeah. To be fair, I do the same thing as someone just murdered my dog. I mean, I don't have the armada that John Wick has. So don't come for me, Canadian government.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna spin it a little bit. I'm gonna say the sexy thing about John Wick is competence. It's sexy to be really good at something, and he's really good at killing people. So he's got he's got the physique down. He's got the skills, the way he, you know, dispatches people with multiple headshots, reloads his gun, switches out his weapons. He's a master of gun fu. The way he moves, it's an actual art they made for the movie. That's a term.
I know.
He's laughing
I know.
At me.
It's just it's reminding me of like that Christian Bale movie where they call it gun fu. I don't remember what it is, but it's like they're literally doing martial arts but with guns. And it's different from John Wick. It's not like the grapple stuff. It's like super over to the top stuff, but it's hilariously good at the same time.
But yeah, it's a competence fantasy. He's just good at everything. And that's cool. We as men like to see other men be very good at things. Because we're tribalistic and we're like, this is a man we'd want on our team.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in a sport, we'd want John Wick. Yeah. So, I'm going to say Gene Kelly, Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
You ever seen a man so competent at tap dancing?
No.
I mean,
no,
Fred Astaire, sure, but Gene Kelly in Singing in the Rain, he's got this whole romantic vibe going on. It's like it's a classic Hollywood romance, the kind of heightened melodrama you don't see much anymore. But Singing in the Rain's also funny. He shows off his romantic chops. He can sing. He can dance. He can make them laugh. I think one of the best moments is Moses Supposes when he and I don't remember the guy who played Cosmo in that movie. They're in a lesson for enunciating and pronouncing words, and they're just messing with the instructor, dancing around the room, and it's just a great scene, which once again is attractive mostly because of competence. Like this is a guy who can make you laugh. He's funny, but he's also really good at a certain skill as well. And who doesn't like to dance? Dancing is just generally considered attractive. And he's a nice looking man too. He's fit enough to do all this dancing. And you know, I heard on set that he made everyone dance a whole ton of times just to get it right. He was nearly like a Stanley Kubrick in terms of needing the dances to be perfect and on point and all that. So he's a bit of a perfectionist, but it comes through. So yeah, Gene Kelly. Have you ever watched Merlin?
Merlin. I don't believe so.
BBC show? Okay. Well, I'm going to call this entry Prince Charming. Prince Charming. Bradley James is Prince Arthur on Merlin.
Let me look this up.
Yeah. Bradley James, Prince Arthur.
Oh, gods.
Yeah, so the thing about Arthur is that he's kind of a jerk. He's very full of himself and kind of looks down on his servants. He's a bit of a prick. But once he starts getting his relationship going with Merlin, you find that he's actually a pretty witty guy. And he's got the best interests of his kingdom at heart. His father is a royal prick, but Arthur's the up and comer. He's the brave young knight who will go into the forces of battle to defend his kingdom and his family and the people he cares about. He's just, once again, he's the classic Prince Charming. And Bradley James is, well, very handsome on the surface, but I like his dry wit and his how affectionate he is with those closest to him, even for a prince who's trying to keep somewhat aloof from people. He handles the role really well. He finds a good balance between Arthur being a strong and dangerous warrior and a heroic figure who you can believe would bring peace to the land one day and be beloved by most.
Nice. That's a decent pick. Yeah. Pretty good looking person. I'm gonna go weird with it again. I'm gonna say Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. He's okay. video game character, but sure, Arthur Morgan. The voice itself, very attractive. You know, a man who he's an outlaw, but he's got morals. And from what I know from the opposite sex that reads romance novels, they love a flawed, attractive male character. And that's basically what Arthur Morgan is. All also, right. You can customize his look, so you can make him as hot as you see fit.
A customizable. That's extra.
Yeah, you can have him like really long hair and a really long beard, or short hair and no beard, and all that fun jazz.
I'm going with
a cowboy of many people's dreams.
This one's a seemingly unconventional one, but I'm going for another charming pick. Colin Firth in Kingsman. Just the picture of elegance, that man.
Yes.
Just the whole movie is just about being a gentleman. He's got the fine tailored suits. And for me, the moment that solidified his sexiness in the movie is when he locks the door behind the bullies. They all think he's going to escape, and then he throws the locks on the door and teaches Eggsy, "Manners maketh man." And then he kicks all their asses. Like, what? This guy in a suit? Like this middle-aged British guy in a suit just beating on all these people? Wow. And then later in the church when he's going on a murder spree. I mean, he was under some control, less sexy there, but like it's a confidence thing again. This is like, it's kind of like John Wick too, where you can be refined and deadly. Well, you don't have to be this gruff warrior or like somebody prissy and wears suits and cares about manners and stuff. You can be both. And that's even better. James Bond is another kind of fantasy like that. So I'll tie in Sean Connery Bond specifically there. It's like you can be a gentleman and you can be very deadly. So I'm going to tie in Colin Firth in Kingsman, John Wick, and James Bond all in one there. Just the gentleman spy archetype.
Yeah.
That's one I like personally.
Very much so. let's see. I'm trying to think. I don't got many left in my brain. My brain kind of melted at this point in the night.
Well, how about, have you seen Mad Men? John Hamm is Don Draper.
Yeah, John Hamm.
That's
pretty attractive.
That's a classic. Don Draper's entire thing is just being attractive.
Mm-hmm.
He's he's so attractive and well-dressed, and he works at advertising, so he knows how to manipulate people really well. This is a guy who, he's attractive because he knows how to navigate all social situations. He's always in a room. He's always the guy in control. Even in a room full of suits who own companies and are like rich and powerful men, Don Draper knows how to get inside their heads and sell them an idea. This is the kind of confidence that is attractive to men, makes you aspire to be like, I wish I could make anybody, like, seduce anybody or sell anybody something. And that's what Don Draper does.
For sure. So I'll go another classic television. This might get weird for some people. Tony Soprano. Some people found him attractive. He got a lot of ladies. It's the confidence, right? It's the charm.
It's confidence. Yeah.
It's the Italian charm. You look at interviews of him walking out and people go fucking crazy. And the loudest are the women.
Tony Soprano is I don't remember the other character we said, but he's sexy because he knows what he wants and he just takes it. Doesn't let anyone get in his way. He's just like, laws, rules, I don't care. I'm doing what I want, and anyone who stands in my way is going to get flattened or beat down. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I don't want to have to do that because I'm a good guy, but, like, just don't get in my way. That's all.
Facts.
And he tends to keep more of his insecurities to himself if he can.
Yeah.
That's another masculine. Actually, that's the whole thing. His first scene with Dr. Malfi, he's like, well, what about Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type? Sort of like that's the kind of man he aspires to be. The kind who keeps their problems to themselves, does what he can for the people in his life while constantly projecting an inner strength. Even if he's not strong on the inside, he wants to look strong for power reasons, but also for stability reasons. He wants to be a leader people can rally behind. Even when his guys are falling down, they can be like, oh, Tony's stable. At least the boss is a guy we can rally behind. So that's why, that's Tony Soprano. For sure. I'm going to say Stephen Amell in Arrow. I think everybody's seen him work those salmon ladders.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't easy. But he did it for 8 years.
He did. He did it for a while.
Matt Murdock as well. One of the funniest things about Matt Murdock, I just remember Foggy Nelson being like, how does he always know how to find the hottest women? he's blind. Sexiest moments, anything with Elektra, basically. I mean, a little bit with Karen, but like, he really sizzled with Elektra.
Great chemistry, those two.
Even though they were so bad for each other, but they were great on screen together.
You think she'll show up in the new Daredevil show?
I hope so. It'd be nice to have her disrupt the status quo again. Yeah, Charlie Cox's Daredevil is he's attractive because he's the man on the mission. You know, a lot of these guys are like, you know, they're trying to do things for their own personal goals, but he's like, I believe I am God's soldier sent to make this world a better place for himself and in the name of his religion. He dresses up like the devil at night to beat the hell out of bad guys in the name of Catholicism, basically. It's kind of a weird dichotomy there, and justice is blind and whatnot. But I like Matt because he's so strongly motivated by his faith. He has a very strong sense of right and wrong and lines that he will not cross, even if the Punisher makes some convincing arguments. He's got standards, and he may self-sabotage a lot of times, but he is a moral tentpole for Hell's Kitchen, who earns the respect of everybody through his actions. That's why the Devil of Hell's Kitchen eventually morphs into Daredevil. People see him initially as a threat and then see, oh, well, he doesn't cross certain lines. He stands up against corruption, but isn't corrupt himself. So that's attractive. I can't go too much longer without mentioning Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi in Revenge of the Sith, specifically.
I was thinking Attack of Clones.
I don't know why
the mullet does it. Mullet does it for me.
I'm thinking more like in the Grievous fight. You know, like when he shows up single-handed in a room full of droids, and he just, you know, hello there. Mm. And Grievous is like, what, just one Jedi? Four lightsabers and a whole army against you. And then he's just like giving Grievous sass and then just stands up to him one-on-one. This Jedi killer.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan is just confidence.
I mean you also got to talk about Hayden Christensen in Revenge of the Sith. Long flowing hair. He's jacked, you know.
Yeah.
Just a boy who's gone far and way into the dark. And you're like, oh, I can fix him. But you can't.
Genocide. So sexy. Darth Vader. More like Daddy Vader, right?
Daddy.
Yeah. Star Wars.
What are we doing?
I don't know what this episode is, but I hope it's a little entertaining. I just watched this one recently, but I really liked Hugh Grant in Notting Hill. Hugh Grant in general just has this quirkiness about him. He's got this great everyman charm. One of the cutest scenes in that one was when he's trying to climb a fence over into this park, and then he fails miserably, and he's like, whoopsie daisies. And Julia Roberts is like, you did not just say whoopsie daisies. What? No, I didn't. And then he does it again. Whoopsie daisies. And then
funny.
He denies it again. He's just like, he's just a nice, normal guy. He plays that very well. Just kind of that awkward, nice guy sort of thing. But like more attractive and stable. He's just, he's consistently charming in everything he does. Well, who else? Well, a big one. On this list here is Austin Butler as Elvis.
That's true. A new, modern, classic, attractive boy.
Yep. Playing an old, classic, attractive boy.
Ah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Specifically, I'm thinking of the scene in the for the 68 comeback special when he's like clad in the black leather playing for the crowd. Just everything around the 68 comeback special specifically. Just all those performances. I'd never heard If I Can Dream before, but he was like so intense in that moment. Like Elvis is just pure passion. Mm-hmm. Like everything from his hips swaying to the way he sings, he's belting out gospel, basically. And Austin Butler can play this shy country boy in his own life, juxtaposed with Elvis, the sex symbol superstar, and he plays both very well. It's like, oh, this is just a nice guy who loves his mother and music. And then there's Elvis, the superstar on stage, who just electrifies the world every time he gets up to a microphone. So it's just passion and talent. Once again, just being really good at something that's sexy. And Elvis is sexy, and Austin Butler, Elvis is like impossibly sexy. He's like one of the sex symbols of all time, and Austin Butler played that convincingly. So like, you know, I guess I could say Elvis because he was a movie star too, but I'm gonna say Austin Butler just for this list, just because he could replicate the king.
Just in general, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The king is dead. I don't know why he said that.
King is dead. Long live the king.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. Well, there's about a million others we could probably talk about. Just running down some stragglers.
Kit Harington.
Yeah. Yeah, Anson Mount as Captain Pike. I love his, he's got this calm authority. He's a captain you can actually talk to. He doesn't inspire by fear, but by respect. He lets his crew do their jobs, inserts himself for authority when necessary. He's got a great head of hair. Billy Dee Williams, most definitely. It's a classic, charming individual. Oscar Isaac in the sequels, he's one of the best parts of those.
Yes.
Chadwick Boseman in multiple things. Mm-hmm. I have him down for Black Panther here. He's the king. Going back to the king. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
Once again, basically everything. I had a bit of a Marvel thing going on here, so I had Mike Coulter as Luke Cage. Just all around.
Yes.
Alexander Skarsgård as the Northman. Not really a sexy character, but like just the sheer physicality of it. Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Terry Crews.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise when he was younger.
Hell now. You seen Top Gun Maverick?
He's pretty attractive.
Yeah, he's still exceptionally attractive. You know what? What I will say about Tom Cruise is it's his smile. It's every time he breaks out that smile, I'm like, aw, yeah.
Yeah.
You like, I can't tell you. First year of university was bad. Okay. It was an emotionally dark time that year. But I don't know if you remember this, but Justin and I had that poster of Tom Cruise from Top Gun on our wall. The one where he's like in the plane, smiling and giving the thumbs up. And that poster helped us through a lot of emotional times that year. It helped me specifically. I was like, I just got to see that picture of Tom Cruise giving the thumbs up, and I'm like, everything's gonna be okay, man. Like that's that's powerful. Just the charm Tom Cruise could squeeze into a picture was emotionally helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry Crews. Sean Connery. In everything.
Give me a moment. The guy who plays Kratos in the newer God of War games. He's huge and he's jacked. What the fuck's his name? No, don't give me the characters. I need the cast. God damn it. Christopher Judge. a guy. All right. Pretty attractive guy.
All right. Well, I got through basically everything. Yeah. As you can see, men are attractive. And
who knew?
For different reasons. Some are attractive for leadership qualities, for being like dad energy. Some are attractive just pure physicality, for charm, for seduction capabilities, for competency, just sheer talent. Lots of different reasons. Great head of hair.
Wrong and head of hair.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the point of this episode, is many men are attractive. And I don't know if you're still with us, but thanks for sitting.
If you are, that's crazy. But good job.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be doing a follow-up for attractive females. Can you imagine if we did this list for
Oh my god.
Talking about attractive women for an hour.
This would be the last podcast we've ever done. This one's super hot. It's just like two guys gawking over. There's already too many like bro podcasts that do that. Especially ones that are like, ladies, you gotta be more like Scarlett Johansson. It's like, what the fuck? Like, calm down. Like, everybody just calm down for a second.
I'm just going to clip out that bit of you saying that and be like, that's what this whole episode
No. It's not fair. How dare you?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. We say things on this podcast that can be clipped out. I love, me especially, I'm great out of context. Take anything.
You're really funny out of context.
Just throw this podcast on at a random time and you'll hear me say anything interesting. All right. I don't have a question of the week for you.
What?
About
That's
this
crazy.
About this particular topic. It's gone on a lot longer than I thought I would. I didn't think we'd get half an hour out of this.
Same. That's crazy. This went longer than our last one.
We have more to say on attractive men of Hollywood than the bike riders.
We even bring up Tom Hardy either.
No.
We all know he's hot. All right, we get it. Oh, God. All right, well, you can find me at Ryan Walker Official on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok. Oh, sorry, I forgot the last one. I had one more on my list. Ryan Walker. Attractive actor as...
Shut up.
Best moment.
Shut up.
Rex McGinnis, when you were the Silver Fox. Aiden, my boy. My the father who just wants to spend time with his son.
I used a whole can of hairspray. Used the entire can.
Okay. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Plane Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe. We really, really do hope after this
one. We hope.
Till next time.
Happy Pride.